Welcome to the Church of Mavis radio show. It's Friday, 7:14 p.m. Central. This is United Public Radio, 107.7 FM, New Orleans. And we got Jerry Avalos here with us. And this show is called Freeballing on the Road to Apocalypse. That's right. Going to be freeballing tonight, Fear and Loathing in the Apocalypse. So here we go. Good to have you here, Jerry. You've been on a bunch. I think you've been on more than probably any other people. I know Micah Hanks used to come on a lot, but not in a while. But you may even have him beat. You've been around since the golden oldie days, for sure, back in the day. It's a long-ass time ago. Oh, God. At least 15 years. I've lost count how long I've been doing this crap. But yeah, you were here for when Guy Weddle was here, weren't you?
Yep.
Me and him had some falling out over something stupid because he was just kind of a jerk a lot of times, but I was sad to hear that he passed away. That was just like a weird surprise. Yeah. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
That was crazy. Something to do with diabetes and things like that, but it was kind of surprising. But so what you been up to, man? What's going on lately?
Well, I've been diversifying my interests a little bit, I guess you can say. Actually, these days I've been very active in the game development arena and doing a lot of different projects in cryptocurrency. That's been pretty much my main focus these days. And for those who aren't familiar with more of my backstory, in the beginning, I was one of the first people who were talking about some of the experimentation that some entities do on citizens here in relation to military stuff. I don't like using the super soldier name because it's like usurped and whatever, and I never claimed that title, but it has to do with military research and stuff like this. So I have seen and experienced some pretty far out stuff in that regard. And then as time went on, ended up inventing something that helps make engines run cleaner, saves gas, etc. And then ran into some heavy resistance. And so, we can get into all the specifics, but it's kind of a long story short, an encapsulation there. And along that whole time, obviously I've had many different interactions, a lot of experience in research and frequency applications, paranormal research. Myself, I'm a natural born intuitive lucid dreamer and astral projector. And this gets into some pretty deep applications and experiences. Had honed my different intuitive skills over time, both through my own independent endeavors as well as apprenticing, let's say like a government remote viewer, practicing shaman, things like this over my years. And like I said, these days I'm kind of parodying it all into some fiction. So it's fun to hear instead of like gnarly stories about like just nasty aliens and cults and big money interests that don't like good things to happen in the world.
So this invention you were doing, you ran into resistance from outside like agencies. Was that related to the incident that happened to you at all, or was that something different?
We can jump right into that. I wouldn't say it's not agencies, it's just money people. Like it's just the market makers. Like the government doesn't care. Like if the government cares, they come in and take it. I mean, and I've had colleagues that's happened to. Like, if they really care, they're just going to take it. But now private interest is where you get those games and some other dangerous stuff because we're talking about something that they feel by in some way. And that's not even the stance I took. Like, I never took like an overzealous stance on like, hey, we need to change this now. Big oil sucks. That wasn't my attitude. But the problem was this thing worked. And what is this thing? I can show you an example of it right here. It's actually just a composite material. So this is a nano-configured composite material right here that uses the latent electromagnetic fields in the environment to create an agitation system for the combustion engine. And so in doing that, we get an efficacy increase that can be anywhere from like 5 all the way up to like 45%. And so that would change usually into some kind of gas savings and definitely reduce pollution. And so what kind of resistance do I run into? Well, like while getting ready to send out some of the first batches of samples to businesses throughout the world, I literally just walked away from my workbench and an explosion happened in thin air from underneath my workbench. And you can tell it's in thin air because there was stuff kind of piled underneath it, right? And you can see the hot spot radiate out from that where things were like incinerated, melted. But at the same time, it was strong enough, like it was already inside the house and felt like, a concussion. But when we go inside and we surveyed everything, there was nothing really jettisoned except for like the screen on the window. And the door, the big, bay door was bent, but like how it was underneath the workbench with like, pencils, pens, X-Acto knife, shit like this, right? None of that even fell over. but like I said, we all felt a concussion in this area and there was a fire that ensued. And like I said, just minutes after I walked away from that spot. But then, and that was one incident. But then in 2018, shortly after the patent was granted, because this invention has been through the ringer in terms of third-party evaluation as well as certified lab conditions, to test that it works. And so shortly after the first patent was granted, like this is kind of where I don't even know what to describe what happened. So like, it does seem like, I don't like to use this term so freely either, but directed energy weapon, it seems like something like this, because like my arm here, like it's grown back now, but like you can see, if you felt it, you can feel like an indent and my bone is warped. So what happened is while I'm sleeping, the mass of my arm down my back just disappeared. There was two bruises on my back, on my lower back on the other side. But that was like the only physical thing on the outside you could tell. Both my shoulders were dislocated at the same time from the back, apparently is what the people hospital said. And so I had no muscle mass at all here. I couldn't move my arm. It was pretty much just I can move my wrist and stuff like that, but not like this anyway. I still have limited mobility going up over, but so it's taken some years. But now, so that happened. so not knowing if I'm ever going to move my arm again, the business is, we're trying to keep the business going, stuff going. That we're running into other issues, like a key player in one of my partners' operations also like mysteriously died of a heart attack, being a triathlete and all. And then it was kind of like, what do we do now? You know what I mean? And then COVID happens. In the middle of all this, now I can't send out samples. I can't even do like the metaphysical work at the community centers that I was doing to try to get a little bit of dough, something like this. And I'm thinking like, what do I want to do? Like, because you know what? Like I spent years, this has been about 10 years now with this invention. And I've been on your show. I've been on other people's show. I've put it out for sale. I guess no one wants it. If that's the case, then why am I going to die for that? Yeah. Like, why would I go through all this shit? You know what I mean? And so then I ask myself, what do I really want to do? And that's kind of where I'm like, I love making games. I love playing games, love making games, I love art. And so that's where I ultimately kind of ended up where I was. And it was kind of like a pastime in a sense where, like, I think a lot of us have gotten more into cryptocurrency these days, or some still think it's the devil, whatever, don't care. But, like, either way, I kind of saw the potential there. And over the time, was dabbling in it and won, in a sense. You know what I mean? And kept winning. And I'm like, dude, yeah, why am I doing anything else? And this made it easier to do some of the paranormal work, because now I'm not necessarily caring about like having to find new people to work with or anything like that too. So like in this, like, that part has already been satisfied too, in that sense of like, I'm doing the spiritual stuff. And then, like I said, ultimately what I'm doing is I'm trying to make, like, I'm parodying a lot of what we see. Like, for instance, I'm working on a game right now that I'm calling UFO Showdown, where you're having like the everyone in the universe having their representation in this UFO shootout thing, and like to compete for the Draconian Cup, you know what I mean? And just kind of parodying all the different things we've heard, like the humans is gonna, our ship is gonna be a black triangle, you know what I mean? And stuff like this. And in the background, though, I mean, the invention's there. I have partnered up with someone who is head of a hydrogen company. And so, like, Valrice and Purposes, I let him manage that portfolio. I'm like, here, you deal with it. Because you're the one talking to the nuclear regulatory agencies. You have the lobbyists. There you go. You deal with it. And so that's kind of what's going on there. I know that's kind of a lot from just the one question, but you know, so jump on in.
Yeah, going in hardcore. But I'm kind of curious that I've had some interactions with some type of agency regarding the show and UFO stuff that happened to me, to where some kind of vehicle was over the house that was silent and a guy waved and it went off into the air. It's kind of mockingly, like he looked like he was military. I don't know what the hell he was, but he went like this and it was silent and it shot away. Never came down to touch the base. Then another time, someone put a $2,000 credit on the phone when I was going to turn my phone off. No friend did that. Some kind of agency did it to keep my phone on. I turned it off anyway and paid my land taxes and went on a shopping spree. Like, and basically, someone put it on my phone bill. And then I got the check sent to me. And they did that, which I was surprised they would just send it to me. I was like, well, just send it to me in check form. And no one I knew did that, unless it was a mistake. Something did it. I think it was someone trying to keep the phone on, because there was this guy named Rex, or a scientist. I forget his name, but he used to do something with oil and some kind of device that would help clean it out of the ocean. And he was on different things. And he told me they were watching me and knew how many times I flushed the toilet and they didn't like because I wasn't patriotic. And I should say God bless America after every show. And so I had weird stuff like that. But so I know these things are out there, but I've never had face to face. I couldn't imagine that. I have the anxiety of that. It'd probably give me a heart attack just thinking of just the stuff that's happened, Gabriel. Having one up in your grill, really. I'm just kind of curious. I mean, was that because of what you were making, you think? And what were some of the things that they said?
Well, okay. There was one incident. I'm not really going to get into particulars of who it was, but let's just say it's someone in the auto industry. Took a meeting with myself and my associates out of courtesy of someone they knew who was just trying to help, right? It was like, oh, this is a cool product. Maybe I can introduce you to someone. All right, cool. Maybe I'll talk to them. And so, you know, the guy, the person pretty much did say, like, I took this meeting out of courtesy. And kind of said, like, in a way, like, I don't doubt that it works. You know, but these all the question I have for you is this, is I can see how there's two different sides of the story. There's one side that will say, let's get this out to everywhere and put it on everything. And another one that's going to say, let's go ahead and put that off to the side for now. He's like, what would you say to the people who are telling you to put it off to the side for now? And long story short, I pretty much told him, like, I would definitely listen to that. Because I'm assuming these would be people who are in the industry currently of either oil, transportation, et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, so they have data that I don't. So, like, I can't say I know that my invention is the best at this time. Like, I don't have enough data to back that up myself. And I'm not going to assume anything. You know, so I was absolutely concerned. And how I knew this guy was kind of like on the other side is this sinister, like, smirk came on his face. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay. And he's like, that's a good answer. Whatever. But yeah, like, after we got done with that meeting, just some of the other stuff that happened, like, my associate and I were like, I'm pretty sure we sidestepped assassination today. He's like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're known for this.
And a lot of these people don't like the real villains don't reveal themselves to you because their job is unseen. You know what I mean, at least the main ones. Like, I've had stuff, like, for instance, some really tricky stuff coming back from the DMV. Had this synchronized event in front of our car where this lady with the stroller, like, really slowly goes by our car this gangster looking dude comes the other way and paces her and puts mad dogging us, just mad dogging us, while this other Asian dude walks the other way, stops in front of the car, starts taking pictures of the license plate, and then goes off to the side and starts texting something while the stroller kind of keeps us there, and then the dude mad dogs the whole time. Little stuff like that. And then the one of the more trippy things that happened is, and this is interesting because I'm driving down the middle of Orange County here where I'm at. There's a couple of us in the car here, and all of a sudden from the sky, like a laser beam, a green laser beam scans all of us up and down in the moving vehicle, and then just disappears back into the sky. I mean, because you can clearly see it coming from somewhere off in the horizon, not over the horizon, but in space or something. I mean, or maybe from a plane very far or something like that. But either way, it's like it just, dead shot us through a window in the moving car.
Did you see the actual craft that was coming from? Or
just... Oh, no, it was way too far. It was like the laser was like a point in the distance of how far it was. That's what made it even extra amazing.
You're reminding me of one time I was with this Native American friend of mine named Jeremy, and we had some other guys in a truck, like a Bronco or something, that had a sunroof, and something came down over it, like a big black ball over us, and then vanished. And I've always wondered, did it take us? And we just kind of all probe what happened, like stuff like that. Even the laser thing, that would get you thinking about aliens and all kinds of weird stuff, the government or whatever, lasers shooting from the sky at you. I know lately they got China satellite shooting lasers at Hawaii. Like, or something like that, it was all on local news and stuff.
Well, yeah, I know there's a lot of speculation. I know a lot of people have about the fires. And I've heard some really good testimonies from, like, California here. And to be honest, like, I'm not buying this, like, oh, we're going to shoot ourselves and then not try to blame it on anyone. That's not how false flags work. False flags that mean you blame it on someone. 9/11, they blamed it on someone. These other things are not. So it's not by definition even a false flag. It could be an experimentation if that's what happened. But like how we see in Paradise, like those people are saying, oh, these are directed energy weapons. They were showing places that weren't even in Paradise. And people from Paradise were going on shows saying, like, you are telling lies. That is not a highway. Like, I live there. Here's where blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? But the community can be brainwashed. And that's one of the other reasons why I even stepped back from doing the shows and all that sort of stuff like that. Because even though they talk about being aware, they're just as asleep as most of everyone else. And honestly, just as racist. That's the other thing too. Like they just want a blonde haired brown person to tell them about Native American shamanism more than an actual Native American.
And I know I sent you the article about the microwave pulse things, and I'm someone that used to kind of giggle about that kind of stuff, 5G, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But I do think there's something going on, and those things, I mean, I don't really know in the long run, but I just know a lot of people I've talked to are fighting and that who normally don't, and a friend of mine got locked up who is like a ward of the state now after fighting with his wife, and they used to never fight when I lived with them. And now just a lot of different stories from different people of stories of people like they're going crazy. So, I mean, I don't know if it's cosmic rays, but what do you think about the microwave pulse thing? Because that stuff he's looking at, I don't know how accurate it is, but it's kind of like a weird weather map where it picks it up, supposedly. I don't know how the hell that dude's looking at that or where he gets the tech to look at that, but supposedly he's saying that these rays are just bombarding us right now, microwave pulse rays.
Yeah, that's an interesting link. Checked it out. I that new type of basically weather radar that is. And now I guess that data is open to the public. And so there's different universities that also publish it too. What was it called again? NEXTRAD? NEXTRAD is the array, right? And so if you look up NEXTRAD and what it is, apparently it's an updated kind of Doppler radar system. And so having these pulses, that's normal. Like, so when you're seeing pulses in a radar system, that's how they work. They send out pulses and then they register what comes bouncing back at them. And so when that one in particular they're trying to use to predict tornadoes. And so if you look at that map during that tornado, you see a system coming down to the tornado belt. So it makes sense to me why it would be on the high frequency mode that you can see. But if you look into it, they have the low frequency mode, and high frequency mode means they're pulsing faster than others to kind of track things quicker. So to me, seeing it pulsing faster while the system is going through is probably what it's meant to do. And what now, microwaves. I think it's misrepresentation of the bandwidth there. Because that's UHF bandwidth that's happening there. And UHF is like the old TV system. And so in a lot of ways, what's pulsing right now is minuscule compared to what was happening when UHF was the TV bandwidth. You know what I mean? Now, do I think that it's possible that... I'm sorry?
Oh, I was just saying it's sending out pulses to get weather data, and that's probably what it's reading on there. It's like these little feelers.
Yes, exactly. Now, do I think that there can be other insidious applications of this? Hell yeah, absolutely. And like you're saying, people fighting each other, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, this is on purpose. Like, and this is one of the things that if you flash back when I started talking publicly about what I knew about the mind manipulation stuff that was going on during those MyLab kind of things, it was specifically about some of this stuff. And people thought I was definitely like, they're like, no way that's going to happen. And they're like, yes, it is. They're doing it now. And it's not like one bandwidth that does this. And think of it more of like a subliminal thing that's going on. And you can track a lot of these things, because if they're targeting you, you can use a radio meter to find like a standing wave. Like, there should really be very few, if any, standing waves in a sense in your area. So like, what does that mean? That means when you bring the meter close to a source of radio frequencies, like say a phone, it'll kind of do the thing like that, right? Now it should only be one directional in the sense of like, I'm going towards something that's emitting it. It shouldn't like have a hot spot in the middle of the air where it's like there's nothing there, and then it goes, you know what I mean, on all directions. So that kind of stuff has different, you know, either entrainment applications, surveillance applications, weaponization applications, things like this can definitely be used off of that. And you would in theoretically, if you're trying to weaponize this and even test it on your own people, you'd be using a multiple phase array in a sense. So you'd be using more than one frequency, because you'd want to have like a full map, because you'd be able to, in some frequencies can penetrate the body, some of them can't. And if you use all of them, now you know everything inside of you at the same time. And like, do I think they're doing that? Hell yeah, I think they're doing that, because they can. And it's not that, you think, it's not that hard to do once you have that money and knowledge.
And they did it to you, it seems like, with the weapon thing that happened. That seems like that's what they use.
Yeah, no one knew it. So, I mean, I've had multiple doctors look at different types of practitioners, and even one of my long-time general practitioner doctors, like, I've never seen anything like this. And like, they explain, like especially, like, they say they're in one spot, they're localized, they don't go laterally around you and then down, all this other stuff like this. So maybe somebody in that sort of deep, you know, military top secret might know what happened, but you know, no one else does.
We've had a few things where glass exploded that, you know, it seemed like it was connected to Christina on some level, but there's also things like that where I know they can do stuff like that. And I know we've had some slaps on the bed and the RV, which we thought might have been a ghost. But you wonder about all this stuff, from paranormal to weird things doing things to you. I wouldn't mind finding some kind of equipment that's cheap that maybe see if there's anything weird around me, because I swear I feel like I'm on a list lately, all the crap happened to me, just pain-wise. But I know once I also had that Robert Duncan guy on. I don't know how well you know him. I don't know him that well, but he made Then the CIA used it or something, and he's a whistleblower. He was on. I was like, well, that's one that's going to get me on a list probably. So I don't do them that often, but I feel like it's going on. It's definitely it's on.
Yeah, and Robert Duncan's legit. Yeah, and I've talked to him multiple times. And, he is who he says, and you know, he knows what he does in terms of electrical engineering. And when it comes to paranormal, there is an easy thing that you can do to verify. Not everyone's cell phone these days has an FM radio transmitter, but if yours does, the apps that do the scanning, like the more popular one, Ghost Radar, actually will do the radio bandwidth scanner. But if it doesn't, it'll use the Bluetooth one. Bluetooth kind of brushes into that RF frequency a little bit. It's not quite the same, but it's close. But you can also buy just a radio scanner that will kind of do like what you see in like Ghost Adventures and stuff like that, where you hear it, and then you might hear like a voice over top of it. Like that stuff is actually pretty cheap and easy to do. Like no one should overcharge you for that. You can even make one on your own with an Arduino, like the $5 Arduino, if you have to. And what that's doing, it's scanning all of the radio frequency bandwidth, and how we're talking about standing waves, it's kind of like the same thing. Like nothing should be making noise across that unless it's specifically a multi-band phased array thing that's meant to do that. And so when you hear, "Hello, Jeffrey," like, yeah, it's not supposed to say that. Like there's a physics thing involved there that's kind of questioned. You have to question. so that's one of the things that I will bring up to our skeptics, where it's like, honestly, you're ignorant. Because if you're arguing with me because you don't know, you haven't done the experiment. Because if you did, you couldn't explain these things. I'm not saying that I can, but the point is that we can explain it. So these skeptics are saying they can are just expressive fallacies, especially when it comes to things like paranormal and ufology. Like, if you've seen it, if you can replicate it. Okay, for instance, like ufology, you can replicate it. How can you replicate it? Like objectively. Okay, it's a little bit more difficult, but if you can get a hold of third generation night vision, look up anywhere in the world, you will see stuff that shouldn't be moving the way it is, in the very least. And so, like, you can't explain that. If someone says, "Well, that's the military." Oh, really? Then that means the military can go out to freaking ET, man. Like, based on your physics.
Not to get into this too heavily, but I've kept up with those Skinwalker Ranch shows and Beyond Skinwalker Ranch shows. That shit has gotten insane. Like, they're just basically have Bigelow personnel, Colonel John Alexander. And the one thing that keeps happening, there's two different shows, Skinwalker Ranch, the main one, and then there's this Beyond Skinwalker Ranch. And then they have that Chris Bledsoe guy on Summoning UFOs with a former CIA analyst that I forget his name, but there's two guys with Colonel John Alexander, and he starts summoning light phenomenon and has like neurology stuff on him and things like that. That guy also has a book called UFO of God. If you get a chance, look it up on Amazon and read. It's in the Christian section, and all these people are under it going, "We can see lights and UFOs now too." And Colonel John Alexander on the book says something like, "You can be one of them," or something. I bought it, but never finished reading it, but it creeps me out like in a John Carpenter kind of way movie. But anyway, at each ranch, they keep picking up this 1.6 gigahertz signal, and they're making a big deal out of it, trying to figure out it's messing with their equipment. And they've even had people from the Pentagon UFO type videos, like some of those soldiers that were there, the TikTok, and they've come out there and gotten sick on the ranch. But you know anything about a 1.6 signal or heard anything about that? Because they're making a big deal out of that on all the ranches, that they're picking up this signal that's supposed to be, they're not saying what it is, but they're definitely like acting like it's all mysterious and stuff. There's a lot of theatrics, I know. I think there's some phenomenon going on there, but there's definitely some theatrics with all the government spooks involved on this show. It's creepy how many spooks are on it.
Yeah, there's basically we've heard them talk about it before, like there seem to be kind of like these gateways, and some of them are a little bit more positive, some of them are a little bit more negative, and the Skinwalker Ranch seems like one that's kind of more negative, and now this is where once again I kind of loop back to my statement about this whole. I don't know what you want to call it, this genre or whatever. Most people are out for themselves. They want themselves and their ego to be the one who's like, "I prove Skinwalker Ranch. I prove the aliens." They don't really care about doing like real work. And like, yeah, I challenge you. If you hear me, Skinwalker people, yes, I challenge you. Like, you don't really want to do real work. You just want the fame. Because if you did, you'd be talking to other people. Like, I know people. You know what I mean? You're not talking to them. Like, so you obviously don't want the answer. Like, no, you just want the answer for yourself. And that's usually what it is.
Or they already know it and it's not that great and they don't want to let everybody know or something.
Honestly, I think some of these people are blocked to it because of that ego. Because it's like if a human can manipulate the hell out of a narcissist because they know they're a narcissist, what do you think like a higher intelligence could do? So I think they're just under the bidding of their dark masters more than they realize.
I heard some weird story. I know Bigelow was there for a long time, so I would think he would find whatever it is and took it and sold it or whatever he does. But one of the things I heard about him from somewhere, I think it was an interview he had, it reached a point to where these forces wanted to meet him personally and set up a time to meet him, and he like backed out of it or some weirdness or some kind of story like that. I don't like Bigelow. I'm just going to say that. But
I wouldn't trust him either. I don't know him. I don't know this guy. I like him or dislike him. Honestly, I just wouldn't trust him. No. And like, because for me, like with my own experience, I just want to know we can do this. Like this whole, like, I don't want to do anything. Like, there's ways it can. Like, even without necessarily physically kind of going there, it can be verified. But like, if this guy has that bit of a fear, well, then yeah, it's not good. Like, it's really not good. But yeah, it's dangerous for me, probably.
Yeah, you can't trust him. And I mean, there's even some being sightings that I've had that I've wondered if it was some kind of, you know, government trick or something. To the heavens, I think they're real, but I was sober and saw glowing people leave my house and fly into the heavens, but you still got it in the back of your mind, like, is someone tricking me? Like, it's hard to, you know, I'm always paranoid about it.
Well, that's good. That's keeping a discerning mind, because you can't just blindly believe things. Yes, things do try to imitate, absolutely. So yeah, you have to keep your guard up. And quite honestly, like be suspect of all the major institutions, like all of them, not just collectively the ones you have to, Christianity, Buddhism, this government, that side of the government, all of them. You have to be skeptical of all of them. Like, if you're not, it's being naive. It really is. Because there's too many commonalities around the world about the manipulation when it comes down to these institutions, whether we know the specific answers or not. And like how we were talking about the entrainment a little bit earlier. Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, we saw this firsthand, right, Jeff? How that in the, like, let's go flashback like 10 plus years, right? Remember, this community would be like, here's the names of the mega corporations people. Here's how they're related to this part of this government and how it connected to the other side of the government that connected to these corporations. Now they've turned up to Republicans and Democrats. They slowly did that. To like make America great again. Oh, you mean when it was racist? Because guess what? For a lot of us, there wasn't a creator back then. But they got people believing that, didn't they? And then by default, they got everyone saying, well, if you have to pick your poison, either way, you're drinking poison. That's something that, like I said, it's pervasive. It's on purpose. That was one of the things I was doing in the community, was helping to dismantle some of these disinformation people. Like I had, especially in the super soldier thing. And we can see how it persists. You know what I mean? That there's that, like, I think, I don't know if you saw, but like one of the popular presenters in the arena, James, how he got punked by a YouTuber pretending to be a super soldier. You see that one?
Talking about.
And that's what I was saying, like, how if any of you, honestly, if you want to speak at those conferences, just keep being persistent. They will let anyone on stage. Yes.
Yeah. Like, I've never really, I think there's truth to that kind of stuff, but what I've seen is like a big circus. I think one of the first super soldiers, I had Penny Bradley on recently. I mean, I thought she was legit in a lot of ways. I enjoyed that. But one of the first ones I've ever had on was this, I can't even remember his full name, Aaron. And he was like a super soldier with dolphin hybrids or something. I didn't know what to make of it. I didn't know him. But I mean, part of you is always like, oh, you know. but what was his name? Do you remember his full name?
That was Aaron McCollum, yeah.
And that's cool, because I haven't heard from that dude ever.
Well, yeah, because he had to take a step back. And honestly, like, I had a big role in that, because I called him out on his shirt. It was offline. I told him, like, I know what you're doing. Like, I know it. And like I said, I tried to give you an out, but you didn't take it because what was happening is like him, Corso, and Duncan, like they contrived a story. Like they actually did have some top secret background. Like I've heard some of it, and that's way more convincing. You can tell they actually did it. You know what I mean? But then they contrived this story about Seagate and blah, 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 which is based on other people's stories. Some of them might be true. Part of them might be true, but then they conglomerate it together. And then that's how it happens. And so I've had people come up to me after that whole thing and say, yeah, like, yeah, they approached me and said, hey, we can get your story out, but we'll integrate it into this story as being one of our stories. I mean, and that's how that disinformation works. And these are concerted efforts. Like, I don't necessarily know the background on their scenario, like who put them up to it. But like how I've seen other ones where there's very, very large political and commercial endeavors behind them trying to pump this disinformation person up. Absolutely. Yes. That's what I'm saying. It's crazy.
That was one of my early interviews back with the dolphin flu for guy and some other stuff that got me in trouble. But he was on like, I think that was the only person I've ever had on this. Like, I'm a super soldier or whatever. But I mean, I think there's truth to it, but I didn't know much about it.
There absolutely is. Yeah. And because he was definitely in the Coast Guard. Corso was definitely like a one of the most deadly Marine snipers. I mean, these things are real. But like, it's some of the other stuff. And that's what I tell them. It's like you make it worse. Like you're not helping. You know what I mean, because at the same time they're being manipulated through their own manipulation. So
we end up with the dolphin hybrid story or something. But do you think what level do you think a super soldier? I know you don't call yourself that, but was that kind of some of the stuff you went through consider kind of in that arena?
It's classified in that, yeah, I guess so, by a lot of people. Because for myself, what I remember was essentially, because I'm a natural lucid dreamer astral projector, I'd be doing my thing and out of body, going wherever, and I remember meeting someone who asked me like, oh, I know, because what I used to do is recreate my like Nintendo games in my dream and like play them as if like I'm the character in my dream, right? So Mario Brothers, whatever it was. And so this character comes in and says, hey, I see you like to play these games. You want to play some different types of games? And I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? Not knowing that it was essentially one of these kind of weird esoteric recruitment things. And so at one point, it became pretty obvious that these things weren't good. It got into a lot of stuff that you hear from a lot of different whistleblowers and experience points about how you do have a certain echelon of cultists, elitists, who do very dastardly shit. And there was certain details that I was privy to because of it. And so, like, for instance, like one of the things that we'd be doing, we'd be playing a type of war game, but it was like a multi-timeline war game, where we'd be kind of manipulating different aspects of realities by either kind of trying to place certain assets or certain areas, but also kind of like a butterfly effect thing, where it's like we knew that you had to also impact the chain of causality in like a mundane way before any of it happened. And so it'd be like this puzzle of like you go back in time to go ahead and try to manipulate whatever person or whatever might be in this position once you get to that next spot. And it was this very intricate thing, right? And it was all associated with what I came to find out was Edwards Air Force Base, because I realized these were like real locations that I'd be kind of coming and going from at one point, because there would be times I wasn't sure. I'm like did I walk home? What the hell just happened? You know what I mean? I couldn't say that. I was dreaming. I mean, it was just very strange. And it did have to do with military stuff, absolutely. And there really wasn't, like, there was training, but it wasn't kind of like, oh, you load this gun. No, it was none of that. It had to do with what sounded a lot like what you hear from people who talked about the Yellow Book Project. So that sort of timeline viewing kind of technology had to do with kind of like how to use that. And so that's kind of when I heard this person talking about it, different people talking about it, like I could tell who probably seen something similar and didn't know what the hell they're talking about. And so now, like, that's been usurped in terms of the Yellow Book. all sorts of stuff like that. Here, I'm the one of the people saying, like, okay, I apparently have interactions with this stuff, and it's been acknowledged by these other people. No one's ever talked to me about it, ever. They've not known these people, say they know about it. Oh, I heard this researcher, but they've never talked to me about it. Like I said, because there's a couple of different reasons. Number one, yes, the mind entrainment part. Number two, racist, because they want the blonde hair, blue eye, blah, blah, blah. I saw that at the Super Soldier Summit. Max Spears. They'd rather have this cokehead represent everyone because he's a good-looking white guy who's just lying to everyone. And, like, I know it's not a popular opinion. People love Max Spears, but guess what? He was a liar. I confronted him there. I'm like, I know you're wrong about these things, dude. He's like, well, you got to say what you got to say. You know how it is. I'm like, not really. just like I confronted Casbolt. Sure, you know, Casbolt's like to come off as Mr. Tough Guy, but he's not.
Yeah. So. And I've noticed a lot of that stuff is really weird. And they want blonde hair, blue eyes. I mean, a lot of people think Nazis are still running the program, so that makes sense that that's what they want. And the whole Trump thing seems kind of like that, rebirthed in a weird-ass way. So I got a guy, Eric Grimsrud, that comes on that broke down Trump to mean Mavis, and he has the craziest chart that I still don't understand, but he thinks Trump is Mavis, and when this devil comet runs, that something bad may happen to Trumple Gooch and tie into that quatrain. And I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but I think Trump definitely has some antichrist attributes that are hit, that maybe he even wants to be that kind of a thing. Like he fantasizes to it or something. But Mavis, Eric's been on before, is pretty bone chilling. I hope he's not, because that's I don't want to be the Church of Trumple Gooch. So.
But yeah, I mean, that's actually, come to think of it, right? This whole Trump thing. Okay, like, once again, let's rewind a decade plus in the quote unquote conspiracy world. Like, remember, everyone was worried about a president that was going to try to stay in office after they were voted out. Like, where were you guys on this one? Like, we're rushing on the Capitol with them. Like, that's what I'm saying. Mind manipulation. I have another colleague who's a musician, actually, but just used to roll to a lot of the metaphysical conventions and things like this and all in those circles. And he asked me at one point, he's like, am I tripping? Or did they purposely turn all the granola eating vegans into Trumpers? I'm like, yeah, dude, yes. He's like, I'm the only one of people who noticed that. I'm like, yeah, because I was there. I saw it. Like, all these people turning, they're saying they know the government's rich, they know the big companies control things. But here they are now saying, like, make America great again. And it's like, oh, but no, Biden is going to save us from that kind of stuff. It's like, oh, dude. Because one of the, I actually do stream Monday through Fridays now on Twitch, and we get into everything. So, like, I'm building, I'm playing games in the crypto space, and a lot of people in the crypto space are pretty savvy. Like, so they know what's up with government stuff. They know they're into the metaphysical, the ufology, and someone made the joke about Biden being replaced by a robot, and I'm like, no, man. I'm like, Boston Dynamics robots don't even fall over as much as this guy does. Like,
because probably I can't stand it, but Biden's like so boring, like watching paint dry. That's like, I think Trump could win. That's the scary part about that.
I know, and that's what makes it set up. And that's kind of what I try to tell people. It's like, so they're trying to tell us that these two people are the best America has created. Like, we all individually probably know people who would be better at managing the country than any of these two dorks.
Jesse Ventura, baby.
And you see how Jesse ran to the hills, man. Like, he used to be, like, hardcore Republican. And then he got into office. And then he's like, okay, I'm out of here.
Yeah. So. It sucks, man. It's definitely crazy as hell. It's probably just going to get crazier and crazier as we get to the election. November, definitely. And this Putin a-hole, it's like, will you just do it already? No one wants to die from a nuke, but just do it and shut up. I'm so sick of hearing this little troll gnome. It's like every day he's threatening.
I doubt their missiles even work. And this is kind of one of the things that I tell people, right? If you're gonna get in a fight with someone, like, if you're gonna, like, get in a fight, are you gonna be like, hey man, my right cross is my best shot, and I'm gonna throw it right now, buddy?
Yeah.
No, you don't do that. So this tells me they have no right cross. Like he's full of
crap. He can't do nothing. He can't even beat up Ukraine to kick this butt. Yeah. I mean, that's been hard. I'm surprised Ukraine lasted so long, but they got crazy, start blowing his people over in Russia and stuff. But I can never get behind the thing that some of these people, Nazis in Ukraine. So it's okay that Putin's killing every single person there. That would be like someone killing every single person here because there's some freaking Nazis. There's Nazis here, so we all deserve to die just because there's some Nazi kickoffs here. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, definitely. And exactly. And it's just a rouge. And one of the things we can look back on, another stories that we keep hearing is how they always need the controllers, right? Because they're globalists. Like there is a term for them. They're called globalists because they want to control the world. Like I'm not like joking. That's what they call themselves because they're a political party. That's part of the big discussion of how the world should be governed. Okay. They need to have two opposing sides. And so they have to have the Russians be the boogie people. And that's been part of the par for course for a long time. Like, because now Bilderberg meeting notes have been released even back to like post Kennedy administration. And we're talking about how Russia can never stand up to us, but they need to make us believe that. It's in their notes for years.
Isn't that the other side of it though? Nationalism or whatever? I mean, isn't that the other side of it? It's globalists and nationalists, right?
In a sense, or call it a global Republican. Ironically, just talking about being governed by a Republican. Because personally, like, I would not trust. I don't trust our current leaders. Why would I trust someone to rule the world?
Yeah. was Bernie because of insurance stuff. Because I've been there, I've had insurance crazy stuff happen to me when I had cancer and stuff like that. So that's the only one I ever really got kind of gung ho for. But now, I mean, it just seems like being gung ho for Jeffrey Dahmer or Ted Bundy or something. Like it's just there's no appeal to it. Like I don't even think there is anyone. Like I know Cornel West is not running anymore. I thought that was kind of humorous. Cornel West was running for president. That guy that's on Bill Maher and stuff. It's like kind of like a Malcolm X dude or whatever. That's really smart.
Yeah.
I mean, I like him, but I didn't think he was going to win for sure. But Robert Kennedy, I don't even know what's going on with that anymore. I have no idea.
Yeah, no, that Robert Kennedy thing is pretty funny, and honestly. And when it comes down to some of these different candidates, because for instance, like Marianne Williamson, right? Like a lot of people are familiar with her work and the metaphysical world, conspiracy world, and like how when I would talk to friends and associates at different, you know, fairs or whatever, they'd ask me about that. Like, what do you think about voting for her? I'm like, well, I don't want to turn her into a murderer. Like, so let's say hypothetically, like everyone says, hey, let's go ahead and vote for this person. The president of the United States is going to have to order deaths of people. Like, that's going to happen. Yeah. So do you want to turn this nice person into a stress ball for having to decide who lives and who dies?
Yeah.
And a lot of people didn't think about that.
Bernie. I said the same thing about him, about Bernie.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Bernie probably has a body pile somewhere already, though. So, and that's not to say it's a bad thing. I'm just saying he might not defend himself. You never know. Man. Like I said, I've got a glimpse into what some of those big entities think. And yeah, it's very dangerous. And so that's kind of where it's not outlandish to question some of these things, like we're talking about the radar earlier. Like it's not outlandish to question it because of what we've seen them demonstrate. And that was one of the things during COVID, right? Like how we saw how hardcore they hit all of the censorship, everything like this. And like how I bring up, like if you're mad at me because I am trying to apply scientific method, being someone who's actually participated in studies, about this thing hasn't been properly studied, that is irrational. That's the irrational part, not me questioning the quality assurance of the product, not the science of the product. And people couldn't get past the cognitive dissonance there. It's like, oh no, vaccine, you bad person. Like,
right-wing personalities on radio croak during that from before it's news, because I have to post that kind of crap to them. And Robert David Steele, some guy named Rob Skiba, Russ Dizdar, Sirsten W, which is like some Asian lady that's friends with Roseanne. Like, I could just go on and on. They were just dropping off like flies. And all of them were against the, you know, the V thing. But, I mean, I guess they just didn't get it and die is what I'm guessing. But there was a lot of croaking for sure. Like, I ran out of people to post. They're croaking so much.
Well, yeah, but isn't that ironic? Well, 99.9% of us persisted. Like, oh, so they happen to be in that 1%. Any new drug kills that much. Like, I'm not, you can look this up. 0.1 fatality is like normal to them. They even said this during COVID. They're like, yeah, we kill, like, our thing kills about, you know, 1 out of every 100, our vaccine. Like, they approve it. Like, that's normal. That's part of pharmacology. And it is. And so, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm getting these conversations with people, and I have to remind them, like, well, like I said, like, even if you are a doc, like, they weren't doctors, right? And so I'm like, remember, I've actually applied science. I've participated in studies that are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. So at least have an idea of what's going on. So if you haven't at least done that, like, don't try to lecture me on science. Like, if you've done more, then okay, fine, let's have a chat. And I'll talk to you about protocols. And you'll have to admit, especially when it comes to big pharma, like, they're not the most integral, you know, industry. Like, there have been known to kill people on purpose.
Well, getting away from that, the C talk, you can get trouble so many different ways on certain places. So one thing I'm going to ask you is, I know you like the game. What's some stuff that you're doing lately? I know it seems there's been a lot of flops that come out lately. I seem to gravitate towards RTS more. I know they're redoing Age of Mythology, retold, that kind of Age of Empires game with Zeus and all that, where you build the cities like Age of Empires. There's a new one that's out, Manor Lords. That seems pretty cool. It's a medieval city builder with combat. I like stuff like that a lot. I mean, I do a little bit of everything, but the RTS, I always find myself coming back to it on some strategy games and things like that. But what have you been up to that's smart? That's out there. Anything on your channel? Anything?
Actually, one of the things one of the new games that's been really entertaining has been Helldivers 2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my god, that's so fun. And it's funny because it parodies like this ultra nationalistic kind of view of things. You'll see and in the fake review, one of them's like had a 1-star. And then underneath it has like review redacted under an investigation for treason because it went against, you know, the equipment. But the game itself is pretty fun and it's co-op. And so that's what's been pretty fun is like having a co-op game instead of everything kind of being PvP and stuff like that too.
That's they did a good job. Yeah. I'm familiar with the first and the second, and they really, the humor and everything, and I know it's been a while since I played it, but when I was, those robots were tearing me up, man. I know there's been a lot of changes since then. I even saw something like they got rid of the robots. I don't know if they did permanently, but they like there's a lot of stuff going on. What happens if you miss some of those events and you get back into it? I guess the events still happen. Like, there's weird like events, like things happen, the planet goes away, or they said the robots were beat. I doubt they got rid of the robots completely. I mean,
yeah, they're back, and there's a bigger version of them now. It's kind of like the Imperial Walkers in Star Wars. Yeah, there's kind of like these huge Imperial Walker things now. But and that's what makes it so great, because it's like a parody of like government. Like, victory, we won.
Starship Troopers. It's definitely like Starship Troopers.
Yeah, and, like for myself, because I have been developing a lot lately, and so kind of where like I was mentioning, I'm creating this sort of like pre-flight co-op game. And so what I've been building primarily is in the sandbox, it's called. And it's one of the different Web3 or cryptocurrency integrated environments where you have digital real estate, and then also you own your NFTs, which might be like, say, your equipment. So that's one thing that's cool. Like, I think a lot of adults are enjoying this part of it, because like you go to Fortnite, you buy a skin, something happens to your account, it's gone. But if it's blockchain based, you still own those assets, so you can still sell them, trade them, whatever on the secondary market. And so there's more and more games like this coming out. That's got a lot of my interest. So like there's driving games now. There are some RTSs that are coming out too on the, in that sense. And so just all over. This is gonna be the future. Like whether people realize it like or not. Doesn't mean the old ways don't go anywhere. Like Fortnite's gonna go anywhere. Grand Theft Auto is going to go anywhere else. There's room for both in that sense. And so that, like I said, really been keeping me busy in that sense. And then also just following the markets gives you a good idea of what's going on even politically, because you can see the market manipulators have complete full reign in the crypto world. So like in Wall Street, things are regulated to some degree, right? In crypto, very little of their regulation. It's those same market makers who are kind of moving those numbers up and down. And now if you understand that, that means you move up and down with you too. And so that's what's been pretty fun. And that's why, like I say, in terms of like my stream, the people who are freaking my stream, we all know this, and we love the sport of cryptocurrency, knowing it's gonna go up and down, you know.
Yeah, I've never done much with it just because I don't really know much about it. So I've never messed with it, so I don't really know anything about it that much. But I mean, it seems like it keeps growing and growing and growing for sure. And Helldivers they did a really good job with that. One of the ones I'm looking forward to and hoping it don't bomb out like the South Park newest one did, that Snow Day. I saw that bombed out. That was kind of disappointing because of the other games they did, Stick of Truth and Fractured Butthole. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But they're supposed to be doing a Killer Clowns from Outer Space, like an online.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't suck. I'm hoping it's good. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre was pretty good, and they did a good job with that one.
Yeah, but definitely. Actually, I've on that note, because I've been co-hosting from time to time with a man named Daniel Mancola. He's an actor. He was one of the guys in Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. The two brothers, so they're like the hitmen. He's one of the brothers. He streams regularly on Twitch. And I met him actually at a cryptocurrency event. Hit it off well, and now he streams regularly. But yeah, we did Dead by Daylight. And Dead by Daylight has how it's supposed to be. And these games are pretty fun. As long as they don't
Yeah, that one's pretty good. They got different characters. I've had Jesus Payon on before about Bigfoot. He's got a whole Bigfoot channel, Breaking Bigfoot. Nice. He's got some weird footage that's real. That looks real. That's crazy. But it's been a while. But yeah, the Snow Day from South Park, that got horrible. And I really like those Stick of Truth and the fractured butthole.
But that one was pretty good too.
Yeah, there was one on there. There's also a PC one that maybe the same one. But yeah, it's hard to. There's not many things that come out to get hyped about. That Helldivers was a kind of a sweet surprise. And look up Manor Lords. That's a new one that's from Slavic, I think, but it's like a medieval city builder that seems to be getting some really great reviews that came out recently or today. And I was reading through the reviews and seems like it's doing pretty good. But I like those kind of city builders, but I like combat, and it actually seems like it has some good combat. So that's good. I got to have some soldiers screwing each other up, you know. Like Stronghold, that's a good one. The remasters of Stronghold, one of my favorite RTSs ever, and I have it in disc form. And it was Electronic Arts, it was Battle for Middle Earth, like 1 and 2, and it was an RTS that was amazing. And they haven't released it anymore. And you can get it on eBay for $100 in disc, like in a set. But that's one of my favorites. That was actually on Xbox. One of them was Battle for Middle Earth. Yeah. The old ones and the new. The new is hard as hell. Too hard.
Yeah, no, very fun. Very fun games. I know I'm missing some more recent stuff, but you know, because once again, I've been playing a bunch of different things lately. Because on stream, for instance, still play Red Dead Online, Grand Theft Auto 5, Call of Duty, Fallout 76. It's kind of going, like I mentioned, Dead by Daylight too. So I end up kind of playing a variety of things here. And then it's also kind of works good to, as now that I'm more into doing more development, it's good to kind of sample different things. I mean, take note, like what makes this fun? Like how I was thinking, like even like Grand Theft Auto 5, like what makes it fun? Like, you know, it's this, like one of the things I found was like sensation, right? The sensation of zipping down the street in a fast car or seeing things explode because you have a tank. You know what I mean? Or is it building your character, things like that? You know, so all these things I take note of while I'm doing it.
Got some complex storytelling in that for sure. I
mean, yeah, too. That's very true.
It's hard as hell. But yeah, XCOM is good. I've been around with those since the old XCOM. I love those. And there's a lot of other games like that too, but that's the king. They did that Midnight Suns Fire Axis. It's kind of like XCOM with Marvel stuff. And I wouldn't mind getting into that. I think it's a little easier than XCOM, but it's got a lot of people like that one. Yeah. But gosh, so what else is going on like in the paranormal scene? Anything new that you've heard or anything out there? I know all that stuff happened with Peru and Las Vegas and these weird little like supposed alien things. And then the Peru thing was weird because that turned into supposed to be miners with jetpacks, which that's weird. So I didn't know what to think of that story. It went so many different ways. But there's been a lot of weird little ones popping up. That stupid mall one in Miami, I thought that was stupid from the get-go, but maybe I was wrong. I mean, it seemed weird that there was a lot of cops there, but I've noticed those weird little stories that pop up, like supposed alien sightings, which are probably...
One in Nevada, you mean with the family?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. I know for more people, but I'm finding that there's actually going to be a lot more paranormal going on, and people are very curious about like what happens, you know, if something's not happening to them. Because so in this time, you know, there's been some different house calls that myself and my wife have done for clearing and some entities are kind of, you know, trying to find out what's going on in certain areas. And usually by the time that we're called in, it's like they're not questioning themselves. They're like, okay, just something happened. Would like it to not. and so, like, for instance, we don't necessarily go in with all the different gadgets and everything, but I have them. Like, I have an SLS camera. I have the radio thing. And sometimes if the client does need that for balancing, I'll bring it out. So, like, for instance, like, so if we bring out the radio sweeper and be like, okay, look, it said this. You hear that? They're like, that's what I thought I heard. I'm like, yeah, see, so this isn't biased. You know what I mean, the cell phone isn't biased. It's a meter. It's just saying what it is. And so this can be really, really reassuring to the different clients because they're still questioning themselves a little bit. You know, is this really happening? Am I making it up? And so that's kind of where the tools do come in handy in that sense, because you could be like, see, check it out. You're not crazy. At the same time, we can kind of use some of those things like the standing wave, finding that. And then there's other apps that you can kind of tell, okay, the cell phone tower is this way. Okay, there is a standing wave there. Like, so like having some different sensational feeling might be normal there. But at the same time, like esoterically, yeah, maybe you should put something there because theoretically speaking, like, you know, something could maybe tunnel through that. You know what I mean? Because there's that whole aspect of things too. And this is what I'm saying is this, some of it's theory, some of it's because of experience, like observation that we've seen that this is how these mechanics work. Just like how, like, one of my theories at this point, like how we know, like, on different investigations, batteries will drain, lights will go out. Like, see, now, contrary to a lot of the researchers' theories where they think that the spirits have to, like, suck up the energy to manifest, like, no, I don't think that's the case at all. Like, especially in terms of some of the communication that I've had with spirits, they don't need to do that. Like, so what I'm thinking that is, that's a type of entropy. So, like, kind of high pressure into low pressure. So there's some kind of low pressure that happens, and you can have these electromagnetic anomalies. You can see, like, oh, here's that standing wave. It's talking to us right here. Battery drains. So that kind of tells me there's like a physical thing going on there in terms of physics, okay? Because this entity isn't saying, bring me more batteries, you know, bring me more electricity. No, they don't say that. you know, but you see it on the TV all the time. Oh, they're using it for energy. They don't know this. And that's one of the things that kind of drives me crazy in some of these shows where like they assert they know for sure what it is. It's like, you don't know that. Like you're not actually using scientific process here. You're just guessing.
Yeah. I don't like a lot of those shows. The only reason I watch the Skinwalker ones is because all the spooks are there. So they're obviously up to something. I'm just trying to figure out what it is exactly that they're up to. But most of them suck.
Yeah. And because once again, on the shows, a lot of people who are on the show, they want to show more than they actually want to figure something out. Like, that's what they're doing. There's that the couple that died after like some kind of possession incident. And now colleagues of mine were directly in talk and communication when this was happening. And they knew I specialize in mortal danger kind of stuff. They never contacted me. No, because they wanted to be the person that solved the problem and that costs people their lives. Like, do I think I could have saved them? Oh, maybe. Like, yeah. If I could have probably made that thing go away. Yeah. I'm pretty good at that.
You had any dog man stuff come up? I've been finding that interesting, some of the stuff on that. I've watched some of the Small Town Monsters documentaries. Mm-hmm. And I think Aaron Deese coming on that wrote some dog man book, but some of that stuff's pretty wild, the dog man stuff. Have you had anything come up with that at all?
Dog man, no. I mean, but I have seen there does seem to be an increase of just different type of entities, I guess you can call them. I think this is because of so many security cameras. And that's one of the things that I'll point to, because skeptics often say, well, how come there isn't pictures of everything everywhere? I'm like, there is, dude. Like, you have to, like, and this from security cameras, most of the most compelling things. And so, like, you know, it doesn't surprise me that there's just some strange entities being caught of all variety. Because at one point, when you get into, like, the quantum nature of physics, like, all bets are off. Like, it's kind of like there's like everything and nothing exists, as they say. so that can mean mishmashes of different entities. And then how, like, a lot of us know, it's not like we're physically touching. It's electromagnetic force that makes like our fingers not go through each other, things like this. And so it's like the radio signals we're talking about, the receiver transmitters are on the same bandwidth. They communicate, they connect, but if they're not, they move between each other. And that seems to be how reality is working too. And that's kind of like not even that big of a stretch. That's just conventional physics talks about this too. And that's why you kind of see like all bets are off at one point. Like I said, everyone has their theories.
It's definitely increased. One of my biggest ones was some cloaked beings standing around a black box and saw with a friend. We had been partying and stuff, and a cat jumped towards them, and they vanished. And it was like little hooded beings that were kind of skinny. You couldn't see their faces. I know the Greer stuff's kind of controversial, and a lot of people don't like him. I don't know him from a hole in the ground. I've seen some of the stuff, but some of those little aliens he had, I wondered if that was them under the cloak. But I still don't know, but my big thing was the black box. It was just the weirdest part of it, seeing some kind of weird black box. They were standing around. And then the friend saw it, and we both agreed we saw it. And then a cat jumped, and they vanished. This was in my early 20s, but I've asked him about that again, and then he don't remember it. And I know he remembered it then. I've had that happen a lot where someone sees something with you, and then you ask them about it later, and they don't know what the hell you're talking about. And you're like, you agreed that you saw it then and acted like you saw it with me, and now you don't know what the heck I'm talking about 20 years later. but people forget or get mind wiped or whatever. I don't know, but. Been a lot of stuff.
Well, because people get afraid, and that's one of the things that, like, I'll say to people these days, like, when they say, well, I don't believe in UFOs, I don't believe in ghosts, I say, you know what, it's probably better you don't then. Like, that's fine. It's probably safer for you that you don't, and I'm not here to convince you. I'm not going to try. Go ahead and believe that, you know. But, like, how I'll say to others who have more open mind is the fact that, like, when someone does have these experiences, whether someone else believes it or not, it's their physical reality. It changes them. And this is one of the reasons why myself and my wife made our nonprofit that we do our metaphysical work from. Because sometimes you need to play counselor to someone who can't talk to anyone about the ghost of the UFO they saw. Maybe they're going to be ostracized, made fun of, et cetera, et cetera. It's not about convincing people. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to work with those who kind of are here to kind of try to find more answers as well, because no one has all the answers for sure.
That's a lot of mine. I've had UFOs over different houses I've lived, and it seemed like they were there because of me on some level, and I don't want to be an ego hound or I'm the chosen one because I don't believe that, but it did seem like that, and there were witnesses, but a lot of times I sit back and wonder, did they take me? And I really don't know. I don't know. People say you should get hypnotized. I guess I would, but what if I don't want to make up something if it didn't happen either? What if they just didn't and I just saw that and that's it, you know? But you always have the paranoia and the, you know, I know I have some PTSD from some of it. It was, I mean, there was times I was afraid to come out of the house. It seemed like there was something genuinely there that was there for me. I saw them in the windows, flashing white lights, like some kind of alien with a headgear, and then the craft, you know. So there's things where I wonder. Like there was one time I was walking down the road here in Florida and a big rusty orange ball flew over the street and I was walking a dog and nothing was holding it up. No helicopter. No, I look like, is there something holding that? It was just like a big orange rusty ball that floated over the street. So there's things like that where I wonder, did they get me then and I just don't remember it? Maybe that's why I am crazy on some levels and have some issues, but you don't know in the long run. So that's the hard part. Just, you know, you saw it, but then you can get paranoid and think you were taken, but what if you weren't? You just saw it. Or what if it was astral and only, or, you know, I don't know. That's just it. I don't know.
Yeah, and what it has to do with this, you know, kind of time factor, you know, because, like, for instance, especially when it relates to sort of, you know, paranormal UFOs, you kind of have this this fourth dimensional time thing that's going on. And so, like, if that's happening, then, yeah, like, you, the blank of time of, like, where was I? You know, anything could have happened in that interval, like you're saying, from when you kind of saw it and then not. Absolutely. That's what I mean. It's like things can get kind of weird. And then, yeah, don't force it if you don't feel like you want to know right now. Because, like I said, when you're supposed to, the answers will come. Because you, your own mind, body, spirit apparatus is capable of tuning in and finding out what happened. And it's capable of spontaneously showing it to you if you need to know it or if you truly want to know it. And so just trust that.
There's been some things where I've wondered if they took the car and, you know, messed with us and stuff like that when that one passed over the truck. And once I was driving by myself and got kind of sick thinking about it, so that made me wonder. But I still just don't know. But I know I've had instances of extreme fear with not wanting to go outside when a lot of it was happening. It just sucked you up in the sky or something. So there's been a lot of that, but not like I used to. I haven't had any in a while, but a few little small things, but nothing, no big crazy UFO things. There's one time in Kingsport, Tennessee, I swear I saw a giant mothership in the sky with little ships docking in it. And it was the weirdest. It could have been military. I don't know, but it seemed like something out of Star Trek or something, or Star Wars. Like you're just watching it. And then I looked it up, and there was a lot of other people seeing stuff in that same area in Kingsport, Tennessee. So that was interesting when you find other people. But there's Jay. Let me how's it going, Jay?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going great.
Got out of work. I'm here.
You're here, and we've just been talking about energy weapons, and Jerry had an attack that may have been an energy weapon that was pretty crazy, like a weird thing where something blew up when he's building some kind of tech, and just talking about technology and super soldiers and crazy stuff like that.
Oh, and, yeah.
And then got into some gaming because he has a Twitch channel. But and then 1.6 gigahertz signal on Skinwalker Ranch, we're talking about that. Frequency. So you and your Mrs. Jerry, what do y'all do? Do y'all do hypnosis, or is it like more of a what is it?
Well, there's different types of modalities that we know. I'm not a hypnotherapist either. If I need to know, if I can do, I guess in the shamanistic terms, it's called a soul retrieval. So I can kind of find what I need to do to kind of see if I have to. And so in that sense, that's one of the good things about that type of technique. Now, there's different ways different shamans will do that soul retrieval. I will do the actual projection if I have to. So I can kind of go and check it out. And how do I know that I'm right? Well, I'll know information that I shouldn't, that should be verified by whoever I'm working with. So I'll be able to see the thing and be like, oh yeah, there was this thing on the wall, right? Like, yeah, it was, and I'll describe the thing and they're like, yep, that's a thing. So I know I'm seeing the right instance.
Soul retrievals can kind of like lose a part of yourself. I know I've read about it and talked about it, but I mean, there's times lately where I feel like I'm extremely distant when I'm trying to talk to someone or whatever. Like I just, it could be we too, but it's a little too much. Like there's something else going on that seems like, I don't know, it's just something off lately. But I mean, soul retrieval, what exactly is that, like retrieving fragments of yourself that you've lost because of trauma? I mean, what does that entail?
Essentially, yeah, it's kind of like the Native American kind of way of talking about addressing your trauma points in your life. And like I said, there's different ways that is done. Each different practitioner has different methods to do that. But ultimately, what it has to do is to identify these different trauma points, seeing what can help rectify them, and then taking it from there. You know?
How do you get them back? Because I feel like parts of me have packed up and went on vacation without telling me, and I'm trying to get them back. They're like little mini pieces escape the lab.
And a lot of times it's one of those things where it's like easier said than done, where you know you listen to that little version of yourself, even without having to ask for rejection. You know, if you in a sense ask and listen with an open mind, like without rejecting. Something just jumps in your like that's what you want to listen to. Yeah, because it's probably going to be that source. And that kind of gets into intuition in general in remote viewing. This is what you're looking for. Like you're looking for the quote-unquote random thoughts that come in. And so even on there, you're delineating, okay, this is my thought over here. I'm going to write my thought because a bus just went by. I'm going to guess this right here because I think the target's here. And then for some reason, sharp just came to my mind. I'm going to put sharp over here. And then you're going to find that as you keep doing this, those random things are going to probably correlate more to your target than you guessing. And that's remote viewing and how they delineated that. But that still works on our personal intuition level. So as long as you're not trying to project your intention and just put yourself in a type of pure, you know, observation state, like you can also kind of do your own sort of soul retrieval by saying like, hey, little Jeff, like, what would you want to tell me about that time? And just don't judge it. And just listen as if the person was right next to you. And like, you can, bam, tell yourself like that too. It doesn't always have to be, it really shouldn't always be with the practitioner. Like we should be able to guide ourselves at one point. Because ultimately, like we all have sort of our higher self that is there trying to communicate with us, let us inform us of our purpose, et cetera, et cetera. We just a lot of times don't want to listen or can't listen. And a lot of times that's not even our fault because there's been generational programming that's meant specifically to keep us from doing that. And that's why I said be highly suspect of all institutions because they're trying to cut you off. They try to put something between you and quote unquote God. You know what I mean? You have to go through this prophet. You have to go through that prophet. You have to No, you don't. You don't. And like I said, I'm like how you mentioned that sort of healthy skepticism of how do you know? And that's one of the things that I bring up. Okay, if you were a person who every day since you were born woke up in the dream world as conscious as we are talking, and something jumped in front of you and said, "Hi, I'm an angel. You should do what I say." What would you do?
That's my D.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, why would I believe you?
Yeah.
Why do I care? Yes. And this is something that I've been doing for decades. I'm 45 now. I'm not the oldest, Jeremy. I'm still pretty new to the game in a lot of ways. But yeah, it's been doing it for a while. And this is why I kind of bring back this that healthy skepticism. Like, I didn't think those were the real aliens at first. It wasn't until I was almost in middle school that I realized people weren't doing what I was doing. And then it took a little bit longer to realize those are the same gray aliens that everyone's talking about. Like, oh, you know what I mean? And everything made more sense. You know what I mean? And for me, like how there was a verification process that I did for myself to make sure like, okay, yeah, I'm not just making this up either, right? And yeah, there's ways you can. And yeah, and so that's one of the things that we would be doing in terms of working with others to try to help them. But then like how the property cleansings and clearings also come up. Like we had a client who had purchased a house that the previous owners, there was a murder suicide. And so they didn't necessarily like feel anything, experience anything, but they're going to come in. They're like, hey, you know, we would like someone who's familiar with these kind of things to at least kind of come in and check it out. And that was pretty interesting for, especially us as researchers, because we didn't necessarily go in and look into all the history before we went there. And we kind of just, oh, okay. And we've seen where it was and we're like, all right. And then when we went there, you know, kind of getting the feel of everything, you know, now the realtor knew more about the story. And so they were able to verify some of the stuff that we were picking up on. And so that was really intriguing too. And so for them as well, because they got to see, like, there's no way that we could have found this information from a news article or a report. It was very specifics about what was in the house beforehand. And luckily in that situation, that house is probably not going to have any residual stuff, like, especially because we already did our service. But even still, it wasn't one of these cases where there was some kind of oppression happening there. The person who went crazy, like, did it on their own, in a sense. Like, so and prior to that incident, like, most of the what was happening in that place was happy. But yeah, like, stuff like that would be kind of like one of the services. And honestly, like, we clean up a lot after priests. Like, priests will come in and then they agitate things. And then they're like, we tried a priest, it didn't work. I'm like, yeah, because it's like a native thing. Like, they're going to laugh at your Jesus. Like, it was before that. Like, it was why.
I don't know if all churches, all religions, but I know in the Catholic Church, there's a specific division for, you know, possession and clearing. Mm-hmm. And they're like, those priests are like, I think they're mostly in Europe, but they're specifically trained to do that. And if you're not, it can, and Jeff's spoken about this all the time. People mess with some of these books and like summoning books, mm-hmm, and summoning, mm-hmm, spells. If you don't know what you're doing, you can F things up royally.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It can be very dangerous. Yes, absolutely. And this is where, like, how I usually explain, especially to like anyone who I'm going to be working with, it's just because of the uniqueness of my background, that I know how to do this. Which gets into some of the stuff we were talking about with Jeff earlier in regard to my labs. They kind of go hand in hand with some of these different interdimensional applications. Like, there's a physics to it. There's a switch to it. It goes beyond belief. And that's one of the things that inhibits most people. Like, I've heard people who tried to study with some of those orders from the Catholic Church, or like the Scientologists also have certain stuff like this. And once again, it's a racket. They keep them there for decades. And I'm like, dude, I can have you doing this in like a couple of weeks, you know, because if not sooner, because what happens if it happens to you and you need this out now? You know what I mean? That's what we deal with. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, it's like, you have to be able to know how to patch the wound, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And like these different institutions want you to go through decades to patch your own wounds because they want you to rely on them. They want you to make sure that you follow their specific protocols. And once again, it's kind of like a lot of them don't even work. Like, oh.
Well, I mean, it's fictional, the story, but if you look at the William Peter Blatty book, The Exorcist, I think he did write a second book, and it didn't take. But the original story was down here in Columbia, Maryland, and it was a young boy, and it allegedly, according to that story, that they got the demon out of the boy, and I think the backstory is, or the forward story, after the demon was cleared, he moved to the Midwest. I want to say Chicago, but that's where the movie went, and Exorcist 2. But the demon did follow them. It did, but it didn't get repossessed the boy. It just followed to their new house and more like a haunting. So it didn't necessarily work, but it worked.
Yeah, and the big factor can be also the person themselves. Mostly it's the person themselves. Like, something, it's kind of like almost like a bacterial infection. like most of us, actually virus too, for that matter, most of us have a set piece of every bacteria and virus in us already. It's just they're opportunistic. When we have a downturn, it expresses itself. These things are very similar. And so there's different fortifications that people can do to kind of help repel this. And so in this instance, maybe whatever happened kept it outside of that person's field, but not all the way out. I mean, and yeah, these things can definitely happen. And this is where, you know, the term demon can be kind of loosely applied to a lot of different entities, but not necessarily all entities are demons. Mm-hmm. And so that also plays a factor too, because like how if something and usually in terms of practical conversation and things, usually when someone talks about a demon, we're talking very usually about a type of contrived anamorphic thought form, and because for instance, even like these entities that may have been seen throughout ages, who people call demons, are actually some other kind of entity, like they're from someplace.
a misperceived biological entity, perhaps something reptilian, alien of that kind of nature. Because there's lots of pictures, paintings rather, not pictures. I mean, if someone had a picture of a demon, good God, they'd make a lot of money. But there are lots of paintings of demon essences, demon entities in medieval paintings on the way back. They all tend to sort of have a greenish reptilian tint to them. Almost all of them do.
And that's one of those commonalities that we're kind of talking about that too. Like throughout history, all cultures have remarked about, okay, we were on the land doing our thing, and then something came from the sky that tried to enslave us all. And like that hasn't stopped. You know what I mean? And that's one of the things that we kind of
Almost every culture has that same story. And it's the gods' names change, but their abilities remain remarkably similar.
They all kind of look the same. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like we're trying to tell ourselves something. In that sense, and this is why I tell people too, like at one point, it's like, because I know, like we're talking, it can be very scary to some people. But like, and yeah, a lot of these evil things do exist in terms of some of these ETs, some of these ghosts and things, as well as these big, you know, company interests. Cause like we're talking about, you know, the people who try to stop me. And, but that means the good side exists too. And it does. And by all rights and purposes, that's what's winning. Because if most of us can look left and right, and it's not like we're living in Mad Max like conditions. So this will let us know that most people agree. I'm not going to murder you. I'm not going to steal from you, et cetera, et cetera. And this is evidence of that. And I think when you take away even the law, most of us will still agree to that. And that's kind of where, you know,
I think that the amount of people in this country, and I can only use this country as an example because I haven't been all over Europe yet, but I've been pretty much all over the East Coast, and I've met lots of people that are gun pro and anti-gun. Those people that are of sound mind and body that have guns would probably have to wind up being the police for their areas. Because if everything broke down, the police and social services broke down, only thing we have left is ourselves. We have to baby ourselves. We have to babysit ourselves. And thankfully, most people are good. So I think it would be okay. It would be controlled chaos, but it would be better than nothing.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, and the governments know this. I mean, like they know in so many ways they're outgunned. I mean, like, and that's what it's for. I mean, that's one of the things I remind people for about. It's the Second Amendment for us isn't about hunting. It was always about like being able to defend ourselves. Militia
and keeping the government in check and keeping external invaders at check. So that's the main reason. And that's probably why China won't attack us, at least not on their own. They have to get a lot of friends to come over here. And even during World War II, the Japanese even said, if we attack America, there will be a gun behind every blade of grass. And then after they did attack Pearl Harbor, what did I think?
it was either an admiral or the emperor. I can't remember who, but they said, we have awoken the sleeping giant or awoke, or we have something that,
yeah,
awoken a giant or tiger. I can't remember the exact quote, but yeah, they knew that they opened up Pandora's box and they were in for the fight of their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, and I think that ultimately, like you're saying, most people are good in the sense that they agree not to murder, steal, et cetera, et cetera, despite the laws. And yeah, and in terms of like, even like China and this rhetoric that's going on, like I tell people, I highly doubt China will want to go towards the United States. I'm like, because it would be the equivalency of like the manager of Walmart going on the loudspeaker and telling all of its workers, start killing all of our customers. That one over there, get that one. That one too, please. They're not going to do that. We're the ones giving them the most money. Like, is it the rubles? No, man, that's not giving them anything. And like, who else are they going to trade with? You know, and this is what we're saying. It's a contrived, controlled competition and conflict, including what's going on with Russia and Ukraine, in the Middle East, et cetera. And that's because obviously the Middle East is a hot topic. And like how I have different associates who are very adamant on either side of that one too. And like how I kind of tell them, like, especially like in relation to Palestine, like saying like how, dude, you know, those people are in on it too. Why? Because they didn't attack military targets. They went after civilian targets. If they went after military targets, the world would have been, yes, Israel, calm down. This is war. But because they did that and they knew what they were doing. So you can't assume those Palestinian leaders, Hamas, is like, oh, you know what? We're really dumb, and I think we should demolish ourselves and instigate a genocide against us. No, like they did, but because they want to control a certain part of it themselves. They're not in it for the people. And so the people who think that that's any more than now Netanyahu all of a sudden getting the way he wants too. You know what I mean?
It really has become an absolute mess over there. Hamas's typical modus operandi is when they are attacked, but when whoever it is, they hide behind civilian shields. And the Israelis, they've been attacked, and they've been pretty tame up till now, seeing that they've been, you know, in that situation since 1947. But now it's come to the point where they've had enough. They could care less who gets hurt, as long as whoever's hurting them either gets their due rewards or gets the hell out. They don't care. They don't care how they get to that end result, whether it's, you know, killing civilians or not. They want that cancer out of the area. And I can't blame them for their method. I'm not there. I don't have a dog in the fight. I haven't witnessed any of that stuff. I mean, we've seen the stuff on videos and the horrible things that both sides have done. And for years and years and years, I've said, it's like two kids with a toy. Mine, 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 mine. Eventually, the parent comes by and goes, nope, that's mine. You go that way, you go that way. And my opinion for that is someone has to be the parent and either nuke the whole area, give everybody warning, give everyone fair warning, 6 months, a year, 2 years. This is when we're going to drop the bomb. And then, you know, the last minute, it's like, hey, this is the last time. We're dropping the bomb tomorrow. Boom. If they don't leave, that's on them. I think that's one. It's a harsh solution, but it's a solution.
Well, I think Israel can, like, in a sense, sort of like mow over like everything there, and they probably haven't. And like I said, this is where, like, I'm not necessarily like an Israel fan. Like, I'm not. Like, you know what I mean? I know that they just kind of took that land, and like, being Native American, I'm very sensitive to that understanding.
And it was given to them through.
Dude, they totally took it. Like, they totally just took it. Like, let's not pretend. Let's not pretend.
The process that was given to them initially was broken
by Zionists, like, though, by like the Zionists, which is different from like Hasidic Jews, you know what I mean? Yeah. So no, it's not that simple. But either way, like, let's put into context though, right? If any other interest nation, whatever, just parachuted into Coachella and started shooting everyone up, what do you think America would do? You know what I'm saying?
We would definitely have an armed response to that. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And so that's where, like you're saying, like, it's not like Israel's response isn't like like, you know, that surprising. It's like, you know, and that, like I said, they probably showed more discretion than America would. America would have just like carpet bombed everything. Mm-hmm. And just been like,
or strategically bombed, like with the after the 9/11. I mean, we went and we didn't kill everything, but we strategically bombed the hell out of every sensitive target, if you will.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, for a little bit there, I was actually working with the former ambassador of Afghanistan, and pretty interesting scenario over there. And it's kind of. You know, it's really tragic, honestly, because you kind of see that, like, even politically speaking, right? Like, Afghanistan is like old news, even though like everything, like, it's still messed up. Like, there's still like basic infrastructure stuff going on there, and it's not necessarily just the Taliban. Like, it isn't necessarily the issue per se. It's like there's a lot of just practical stuff going on there, and about rights and purposes, like the people in charge. Like, in a sense, have more integrity than the ones who are placed by the Americans. All of them fled, and they took a bunch of money with them. Like, but like I said, politically, no one cares. Like, it's just like it's just abandoned. And I think how Ukraine's starting to feel this way a little bit now because of the whole thing in the Middle East, and that's how it is. And so it's like this isn't. It's not like how everyone wants it, but this is like the nature of the system. They know this. They're using it to their advantage, and this is where, like Kyle was saying, they slowly converted all the people in the conspiracy realm, metaphysical realm, into Democrats or Republicans by leading them this way or that way. Even though, like I said, you go back in time. Remember, I'm sure you guys remember. Remember the big web maps of like you would see this company is this conglomerate of this, which funds.
Oh
this,
yeah, yeah.
Da, da, da. Where are those? Where does everyone do with those anymore? I mean, they don't. They're just saying Trump's going to save us. Biden's better than Trump. Yeah. Oh, so yeah. Now it's some fairly interesting times. But at the same time, the fact that these conversations are happening, you know, your audience is here listening to it, and like mm-hmm. how I was telling Jeff here that you know I do a daily stream on Twitch, and it's a cryptocurrency integrated web games and such like this, right? And that crowd knows what we're talking about. Like even yeah. we'll bring up some of the stuff, and they know that they can do that on my stream. Like we can bring up ufology, you can bring up paranormal, you can bring up Illuminati stuff. Like we'll talk about whatever. But yeah, it's cool, and this is what gives me hope though, because it's like these are the rational people, and we're watching everything going like, wow, they really all fell for it.
Well, hey guys, we got about 5 minutes, and first off, I just wanted to say one thing, and then if you got any links, Jerry, I want you to make sure you get them out, but let me say this one thing. We had this situation where the Church of Mavis radio site got messed up, and it was down for a while, and then Gregory Miller helped me do this contest with Free Website Guys, and they redid our website. But it was weird how they kind of did it. They were like, okay, we put it on Bluehost. And then they said basically that it was saved on there. And they gave you these steps to do. And somehow I guess you kind of like, I don't know crap about WordPress, but somehow you unlock it and make the site. Well, basically Gregory Miller was going to do all this stuff, but I guess he doesn't know how to do it because it's just kind of weird the way they left it. Like there's a site there, but it's locked there. And the thing up now is like some fake landing page, and you got to do something to unlock the real site that they built. So basically this damn thing's been sitting around for like 6 months or more in limbo. So I'm trying to find someone that might know something about WordPress. If someone knows what they're doing, they could probably just go in there and do it in like nothing. It's there. It just needs to be done. And they say it's done. It's confusing. I even wrote them back and they didn't say anything. So if anyone out there knows much about WordPress, let me know. And you can find me on Facebook under Reverend Jeffrey Pritchett, or you can go to our Church of Mavis group. But I'm trying to get this site thing. It's drove me insane. Like, it's just the craziest thing ever. So if anybody out there is a WordPress master, let me know. But I don't know. Did you hear a tech thing earlier? I think somehow my mic for my cam was on and not the Yeti in front of me, and I fixed it, and I think the echo went away, but I listened to the show a little bit while y'all were talking and muted everything. It sounded okay. There was a little fuzz, but it was still, you know, I mean, listenable. There was nothing that bad, but it seems to be gone now, I guess. But it sounded fine on my end, except for sometimes a little echo. Yeah, but it may have been from that mic issue. I just got to make sure I check it every time. But it definitely was nothing terrible because I just tested and it sounded okay. But I guess, Jerry, well, it's always been a pleasure. And I don't know how many times you've been on, but a lot. And we appreciate it. And we were going to, the show was called Freeballing on the Road to Apocalypse. We didn't know what the hell we were going to talk about. I think we did pretty damn good. Got some deep, deep. But give us your links, man, so anyone wants to check it out.
Yeah, definitely. So for all the metaphysical services and products, you can go to thehollowtree.com. So, you know, THEHOLOTREE. So kind of like hologram. So that's where you can see some of the different services and some of the products. So we have some different talismans there. Like, here's an example. It's they're made with different gemstones. It's kind of green screened out. and it uses our material. So it's like a specific material, kind of like the pandan one, but made for, you know, humans and health promotion and stuff like that.
Nice.
You can also request specific builds. And then also, we have different services if necessary in terms of, you know, counseling. We could do some of this remote too, in terms of cleansings and things like this. And then, if anyone's interested in my Twitch, I'm on, Twitch OG Shakespeare. So like, kind of like Shakespeare, but with beer. So Shakespeare, OG in front of that. But I'm on in a relatively ungodly hour for us in the States. I start at 3 a.m. and go to 6 a.m. Pacific. So it's not too bad for you, because it'd be like 6 a.m., but
3 a.m.? How do you wake up at 3 a.m.?
I'm usually up through the night. Like, so I'm a night owl, so I usually...
Farmer's hours, unfortunately. I have this weird morning crap that I wake up at sunup if I'm not careful or something. Like, I'm going to go till the fields. But we appreciate it so much. Thanks. And next week, Brian Bowden canceled. He's the CBS exec, Three Beers podcast. I don't know. Hopefully we're rescheduling, but Pat Horn's going to sit in. I don't know if you were here for him before, Jay, but he'll be here next Friday, and it'll definitely get crazy weird, like with this one, but on another. Some frequency talk again with Pat. Craziness. But we appreciate it, and thanks so much. It was a great show. Thanks, everybody. You listen to United Public Radio, 107.7 FM New Orleans. Everybody have a great weekend, and keep on freeballing on the road to apocalypse. Let me turn this thing off.